Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Londa's director of the healing ministry here, and we've been having a great time at these services. We typically have a healing type of service once a month, and God's been doing awesome things, and we just want to bless Londa tonight. I'm really feeling the Lord, just like Bob is and the worship team. I'm really feeling the Lord just say, I want to be with you guys. I mean, just that kind of reality that he just wants to be with you, and he wants you in his presence, and that's what we're running after. We're not doing anything like this because of we have an agenda or anything like this. We just want Jesus to be able to have his way in Michiana, and we want to play our part in that, and of course so do you. But anyway, let's pray for Londa. Father, we just bless Londa even now, Lord. Just drop your anointing on her in Jesus' name. Anoint her words, and Lord, anoint our ears to hear what you're saying in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is a new place, and it's got a good feel to it. I want to talk to you about tonight about the mind, our minds, the way they work, the things that we believe, and how that affects us. I've been working in inner healing ministry longer than I have been praying for physical healing. Since 2002, I started working on my own inner healing, and then in the end of 2003, I started taking other people through sessions, and since then, I've done probably 400, 500 people and about 4,000 hours of it, and I get the deception of the enemy. I get how he is subtle, sneaky. He doesn't play fair. He's the exact opposite in nature of God. I was thinking about Satan the other day, and I was thinking about the gifts that we have been given and how every good gift comes from above, like love. Peace, joy, mercy, compassion, all of those things. And even in the spiritual gifts that we've been given, like the gift of healing, the prophetic, and the gift of miracles, other gifts like that. The enemy, Satan, and his demonic realm are the exact opposite. So in the beginning, Satan was given, this is so not what I was going to talk about. This is, in the beginning, Satan was given, he was created angel, he's a created being, he was given gifts by the Lord. And when his heart became wicked, and he fell into self-deception, those gifts that came from God became perverted. And the gift is still there, but it's like perverted and now defiled. And so all of those gifts that Satan had been given are now perverted. The same thing happens with us. When we're created in the likeness of God. We're created in his image. We have if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus living within you. That Spirit is full of the nature of God, right? It's full of the nature of God. So you're created in God's image. You're one with him. John 17:20 talks about us being one with him. So we're one with him. We are created in his image. We have and we have the very nature of God living in us. But when we've been deceived by the deceiver, and we believe his lies, that nature becomes corrupt. it becomes what it is so not meant to be. And so inner healing process brings us back into alignment. It brings us back into the truth of who Jesus says we are and who we were created to be. It's an amazing thing, the mind. It's very complicated. I've worked with people that have, I realize the complexities of our mind and the ability, and the enemy knows that complexity, and he knows how to get in there. And so it's we go from like glory to glory in the Lord, but when we're believing the lies of the enemy, we go from lie to lie. And he will build upon, he'll speak a small lie to you when you're a small child, say. And then throughout your lifetime, he will build upon that lie. And by the time you get out as an adult, you have, you think you're all kinds of things. You think that you're ugly. You think that you're no good. You think that you're incapable. You think that you're unworthy. You think that you have a lot of can'ts in your heart. I can't, you know. There's a lot of insecurity. There's a lot of, depression sets in. Hopelessness, defeated feeling. All those things, that didn't start out here in your now place where you are now. It starts as a small child. And from the moment you're birthed, he's like after you, because you are created in the image of God. He hates God, everything that God created. That's why we are destroying our world, because he also hates everything that God created. Everything that's beautiful to God, Satan hates. And so he's after everything. And but thank goodness for Jesus. Thank goodness that there is, he is the Redeemer. And his power to redeem is far greater than the enemy's power to deceive. I've seen people so steeped in lies, so convinced. We've all been there. You're so convinced that you are this or you're that. Every negative thing that you believe about yourself certainly does not come from the Lord. And it is a flat-out lie. But you can tell yourself differently all day long, but in your heart, there's a place where you believe that lie, and it's in there rock solid. And so even sinful behaviors, like, pornography or lying, if you have trouble with lying, or stealing, the compulsion to steal, or addictions, or whatever it is, that is, I've found, stems from lie-based thinking. There's somewhere in your history where there's something that behavior does for you. It satisfies a hole in your heart, and it's perverted. And it's subconscious, so you're not consciously thinking, I need to feel good, and I need to do something that makes me feel good right now, and so I'm going to go steal something because that feels good. Like I've beat the system, or whatever the reasoning is thinking. That doesn't make you a bad person. The enemy wants you to think you're a bad person. That means you have lie-based thinking. It means you're just believing a lie. And that Jesus, the Redeemer, needs to speak to. As soon as he speaks to it, I've had people that thought they were murderers, that thought they were molesters, that thought they were wicked beyond redemption, because of the lies the enemy have told them. And they truly believe them. They believe they're not worthy of living. They believe all kinds of things. What you believe in your mind is powerful, because then your heart receives that. And when your heart receives it, it's like it becomes your identity. You think it becomes your identity, and you think that's who you are, and there's no turning back, and that's such a lie. I want to just read this scripture here. I'm going to read two quick scriptures, and then in Matthew 16:23, Jesus was telling the disciples about what was coming and what he was going to have to suffer. And Peter came up to him and said, no, Lord, you're not, that's not going to happen. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's. It's a mindset. So when our minds are set on listening to negativity, to negative thoughts, Satan is loud, the demonic world, the spiritual realm, they're loud and noisy, and they will try everything to get your attention. Everything. They will go to great lengths to get your attention. And we often give them that attention because they are loud and noisy. The Holy Spirit is gentle, soft, he's kind and loving, the exact opposite nature. And we tend, because of our carnal nature, tend to turn towards the loud, noisy. Then we have all these negative emotions. So Peter had all this, like, oh, no, and he didn't want that to be true. And the Lord is saying, you're not setting your mind on things above. You're not setting your mind on things above. So we need to reset our minds. And there's only one way we can do that. In Romans 6, it says, now we have died with Christ. We believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, okay, here's the clincher. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus did it, we're to consider it done for us. And when you start to set your mind in that direction, you recognize the lies of the enemy, and you know you're not stupid. So knowing you're not stupid is like, that's the first step. Because you're, okay, so you know it now in your mind, but your heart still believes it. Because somewhere back as a child, you were told that you were stupid or made to feel that way. And so now you've got to get your, because you now you know truth, because you know that Jesus says you're not stupid. So now you have to get your mind and your heart to line up together. And there's only one way to do that. It's learning to listen to what Jesus says to you. And I'd like to teach you how to set, like if you have a friend that comes up to you and they start pouring their heart out to you, and how to just set them up before Jesus and help them hear from him. Too often we want to, now speaking truth into somebody's life is good, and we need to do that. We need to take them to the Word, because the Word cleanses and the Word heals and brings knowledge and restoration. But the other component to that is to set them up in such a way that they actually hear the Word of God. They hear God say to them, you're not stupid. The minute he says it, the minute Jesus says that to them, it changes, because then their heart will receive it, because his voice carries an authority that yours most often doesn't. Sometimes we speak truth into a person and they get it. It clicks here and here and healing happens. But most often we need to hear and be able to receive the voice of the Lord. We need to receive that truth. And so it's an easy, simple thing to do. So I want to teach you how to do that. I just want to finish reading this. Therefore, so you're alive in Jesus. You know, you're alive in him. We got to get that. And therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God, to those as those alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not be a master over you. Jesus made a way for sin not to master you. We do not need to stay. I have done so. I hope you take this the right way, because I'm not claiming to be sin-free. But I have done so much inner healing. I've been so after, because I got this concept, and I've been so after it that it's like I can't remember the last time I was tempted with a sin, consciously tempted with a sin, to sin. Willful, I'm talking about willful sin, okay? Not that my flesh won't rise up on occasion and, you know, but the temptation of willful sin, I can't remember. That's freedom. And that's available to every single one of you. I am not an exception. I am not. And there's no secret to it. I'm telling you the secret. It's Jesus. And it's learning to listen to him. But I want to teach you the way in which you set before him so that you can receive it. Because too often we spend a lot of time telling Jesus about our problems or about our sin or about the way we feel. We're telling all those things, but we don't think to stop and listen. We don't think to, and then we have this, like we'll throw out a whole bunch of stuff there, and all of a sudden, so we get quiet or we want to listen, but there's so much that we can't focus on what, you know, or we'll say what we think he should say. That doesn't do it. We need to really learn how to hear his voice. I had a vision. I want to share this real quick with you. I had a vision one time, and in that vision, I saw several people that I knew and myself, and we found ourselves standing in the throne room, and Jesus was on one side, and Father God was on the other, and the Holy Spirit was present, but I didn't see him. And there were, we turned into instruments. Each one of us was a different instrument. I was a flute. My friend Sue Bailey was a kettle drum, which shocked the socks off of me when I saw that. But she was a kettle drum. There was another kettle drum. There was several other instruments of people that I knew. We were kind of in a circle, semicircle before the throne. And we were to play. But before we played, I saw Jesus come and hand each one of us to Father. And he began to look at us. And we, like, I was the most beautiful flute I've ever seen. I mean, handcrafted. I had gold inlay. I'd never seen a flute like it. It was divine. And I saw Jesus looking at Father going, you know, like, and Papa was looking me over, and he was like giving a wink and at Jesus and just having great delight in his son's craftsmanship. He picked up Sue and this big kettle drum, and her little head was sticking there and her arms were around it. It was so cute. And her little feet was holding it up, you know, but she was like hand hammered gold and had these beautiful cords of red velvet on her. And she had big jewels every so often holding up these cords that hung down and with gold tassels on them. And it was amazing, a very, very costly. Kettle drum and handcrafted, and Jesus was so proud of her when he lifted her, when he handed her to Papa, and God was just enthralled with her. He was staring at her and just, you know, it's like it was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. It's the handiwork of his son. It's a work, it's his instrument of righteousness. That's the way he sees you. Every one of you, that's the way he sees you. I'd like Sue to come up here. She's going to give a little testimony on what God's done with her. I want you to know that, I don't even know if it's been 5 years ago, not too long ago, that Sue would not have ever gotten up here with me. And it wasn't too long before that that I would have never gotten up here. So you have two, you have a flute and a kettle drum making a noise for Jesus. Oh, and the other part of that was the Holy Spirit. The reason I didn't see him is when we all, when Father got done viewing us, we all stood there and we played for him in unison as one, a sound that was the Holy Spirit breathing through us. It was the Holy Spirit making the sound. It was amazing.
I want to tell you tonight what Jesus has done for me. I want to tell you of his abundant redemptive power. I got some inner healing a few weeks ago, and I got confirmation of that healing this past weekend when I attended a wedding. And the healing, the inner healing that I got was a deep, deep, deep place of sorrow. And and I thought that that was the way my whole life would be forever. So he healed that place. And when I went to the wedding, it was just beautiful. Normally, I would have gotten into a state of such sadness and sorrow that it would have been difficult for me to stay. And I probably would have left halfway through holding back tears. And this was like always the case. Whenever I went to a gathering, celebration, party, any place where there was laughter and joy. So the wedding was beautiful, and I got to enjoy it. I got to feel the love and the joy without any sadness, without any sorrow. The whole evening I stayed till the end. I went home and there was still no sorrow. Sometimes I'd go home after something like that and be just overcome with it, but it wasn't there. And I didn't even realize it until the next morning, and I woke up and I realized what Jesus had done. And I think the biggest thing that I understood was that it was nothing I could do myself to overcome that sorrow. No matter how hard I tried, no matter if I just pressed through, I could never overcome it by myself. Never. It was only through him, our Redeemer. It's only through his power that he brought me out of that place and brought me into a place of joy. In his word, so many times it talks about him turning mourning into joy. Joy and gladness, sorrow and sighing, fleeing away. Well, I'm here to tell you that that is the truth. that he brought me out of that place of sorrow and sighing, brought me into a place of joy. And I read something the next day that talked about him eradicating sorrow. He eradicates sorrow. And it said, and he's going to let me catch up. All that I've lost, he's going to let me catch up, and I'm going to do glorious things for his kingdom.
Sue's given me permission to share just a snippet of, so you understand the depths and the sneakiness of the enemy. Her mother, up until the age of 6, she had a good childhood. Loving parents, and felt loved. But at the age of six, her mother died. And her father's emotions died that day. And it's like from that day forward, then they moved in with her grandmother, who was a very stone cold, unemotional person that was never affirmed, never showed love, took care of them, but never showed love, never affirmed, never expressed any joy or anything like that. And so Sue began to withdraw into a place of loneliness and isolation. And she began to believe the lies that the enemy wanted to tell her about that. So that sorrow was put in you about that. I mean, do you believe it came?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So when you got healed, how did that feel when the voice of Jesus spoke to you?
You mean just this past time, right when he spoke to me? Well, I didn't really feel a whole lot right then. I mean, I did feel the emotion that had stirred up within me. When I got that healing that day, that emotion was so strong. This time, I couldn't push it down. I couldn't do anything to make it go away. It was just like there. And I just knew I had to go find somebody to help me. It was so strong. And which, you know, God's timing is perfect. He knew exactly when I needed that healing. And he knew it was going to be that day. He knew who he was going to put in place to help me with that. And what was your question? No, I.
When you heard.
Yeah, when I heard. Well, that the pain went away.
Yeah.
I mean, the pain went away. I had complete peace. Instantly, I had complete peace.
Wow. That's what happens. It's instant. Voice of Jesus comes in, and I don't care, that lie's been in there since she was six. And that her heart was like desolate. I've you know, worked with Sue for a long time off and on. There was like big hole there from lack of love and that shock of having your whole life change in one day. And so she is a walking testimony, how it proves that the redemption of Jesus is greater than the enemy's. The enemy wanted to get that in her and keep her incapacitated and keep her sound of that kettle drum quiet. And it's not happening. Look what Jesus is coming, and he's speaking life into her. He speaks truth into her, and she's making that joyful sound. So... thank you. So how you do that, I'm just going to give a quick, because we need to get to ministry here. How you do that is don't do it if somebody's suicidal. You know, don't do it if you have somebody that has serious woundedness. But for the average hurt, just ask them this question. What are you feeling right now? Identify the emotion that they're feeling. When's the first time you ever felt that way? Well, I was, you know, they'll remember. First memory that comes to their mind is usually it. When you get to that memory, you say, you don't analyze the memory. Don't go there. Won't work. Been doing that all your life. Sue has analyzed what happened to her all of her life, and it never got her anywhere. So you get there. What are you feeling there? That same emotion, and what does that say to you about you? That's the lie that you believe right there. The lie is told to you based on what you're feeling. So you find the emotion in that memory. You find out what you believe about you, and then all you say is, Jesus, what do you want them to know right there? That's it. And just get them to listen. It's simple. And you check it. The way you check it is, does that still feel true to you that you're a weirdo right there? You know, we believe all kinds of things, that you're stupid. Does that still feel true to you? If it's gone, if it's peaceful, you know Jesus spoke to them. Yeah. That's how it works. You can set any of your friends up like that. It's simple. Let Jesus, the gospel is simple. Truth is simple, but when it's spoken with the voice of Jesus, it's the most powerful thing in the universe. So don't underestimate the power of God to redeem. It's greater. We're going to have a couple testimonies now. I invite the ministry team, Betsy, to come up and play. Is she still here? Come up and start playing. And Dave has a couple more testimonies real quick. And then we're going to do some ministry.
Just one. Michael? Are you good with this?
Good.
Why don't you just share what happened in your own words?
Okay, I'm going to have to back up about 14 years in order for you guys to understand what really went on. When I was a kid, me and a bunch of my friends, we thought we had a future in the X Games for some reason. And jumping a ramp on my bicycle, I fell off and I shattered both my radius and my ulna so severely that I was pretty much bionic down here for a long time. And the doctor said by the age of 30 that I was going to have arthritis in this arm. Actually, they were expecting me to have kind of like a shriveled arm. Of course, Jesus, he was able to straighten that too. Throughout my life, I was believing this lie. And then when I finally first came to Christ, I was thinking, you know what? He can heal this. Now, at the time, I was living down in Mobile. I was witnessing a lot of really cool healings going on through Nathan Morris's ministry down there. And there were some really cool things going on. And I went up for healing every single time. And I remember specifically one person telling me, God says it's not the time of completion yet. Okay. Well, last month I come here, and I didn't connect it until a lot later. But when I was just praising God, and I really almost audibly heard his voice saying, it's the time of completion tonight. And I was thinking, okay. I mean, it didn't click yet, because God has a tendency to do that. And then when they started calling up people for, you know, because a word of knowledge came to them about different healings that were going on, they said, right forearm. I'm thinking, God? All right. So I came down here, and they prayed over me, and I felt this burning in my arm. But it wasn't like a pain burning. It was like an active fire going on inside of my arm, and it was the coolest feeling. Because before, this is as far as I could rotate it, like this. Now I have full rotation. God has been, I mean, if I lifted more than 20 pounds, I was hurting for days later. Now I'm just throwing around boxes like they're nothing at work, and it's no problem at all. And the craziest thing is, time of completion makes sense, because I talked to my mom almost to the day. It was 14 years. Now, everyone knows that the number of completion is 7. 7 times 2 is 14. God is that cool. And God knew I needed this, because right now I'm in a dry season. I'm not here complaining about it, because it's a really cool thing. Because you know what happens after a dry season? When the floods come, it's the floodgates, and the blessings are, I'm not even going to be able to store the blessing. Amen. So it's really cool. And right now, with this healing, I call it my spiritual ginkgo biloba. Because, you know what? Yeah, sure, I'm in a dry season, but I remember the healing that God took place right beforehand, and that's something that I'm going to be able to rest on. And, yeah, God is just that cool. Anyway, that's my testimony.
Thanks for sharing. Why don't we just give Jesus a hand clap for what he did?
So, I invite you to stand. And for whatever physical, emotional, spiritual healing, we want to minister to you tonight. So I invite you to start coming forward as Betsy sings. And we want to just set you before Jesus. And he can do it all, and he wants to. It's his heart.
One thing I kind of sensed during worship was to pray for circulation, cardiovascular circulation. And I just, it could be heart, but also just any type of circulation problem in your body. And I also think that means what Londa was covering tonight, emotional. God wants to deal with heart issues tonight. Probably physical, but also emotional. And so if that's you, just feel free to come forward.
Invite the healing team to come up and stand if you feel like it, if you want to. Somebody with a knee, an issue with your knee. That's you. I invite you to come up. Also, I'm hearing the word fear. If you have fear, I invite you to come. Some of you have been prayed for a lot. If you're like me, you've been prayed for a lot of times, and healing doesn't happen, and it gets discouraging. So discouragement is one of the things I want to see come up. But there's that, it starts to build a hopelessness sometimes in you. And that's so not the Lord's heart for you. Every time that I stand before somebody and they pray for me for healing, I'm like, bring it on, Jesus. You know, and every time it doesn't happen, I'm like, I still feel like a well-loved child. It does, you know. Only God can do that in your heart. He loves you. And so even if you've been prayed for 100 times, I don't care. Just come on up. And Let him just touch you.
We praise you, King of glory. We praise you, Prince of peace. We lift our voice to heaven and pray. We praise you, King of heaven. We praise you, Lord of earth. We lift our hands to heaven and praise your name.
We praise.
We praise you, King of glory.
go ahead and just release you if you need to go. And we're just going to keep it a ministry time. So you're dismissed if you'd like to. If you want to just stay here in God's presence, feel free to do that as we continue to minister.